So sometimes when people are in the same job for a long time, they may feel a bit jaded maybe and not valued. How can a worker maybe get their existing employer to see their value?
Oh, that's a great question, Amber. And, you know, you're absolutely right. When you have been in a job for a long time, you know, not only maybe is the employer not fully realizing your value and recognizing it, but often we find the employee doesn't recognize it either. You feel that maybe you're not as good as others, you know, that feeling that the newer people are going to be better than you. And often quite a lot of the work that we're doing at Hilt is getting people to realize just how good they are at their job. So what I would say is the first thing to do is say, maybe on the financial side of things, maybe if you feel you're being undervalued and underpaid, is to make sure that you're looking at the salary surveys that come out every year. All the leading recruitment agencies would do these. You can download them for free from the internet and take a look to see what are the salary bands for the type of job you're doing in the area in which you are working and the location in which you're working. So that's the first port of call, I suppose, just to check, you know, reality check, am I being paid enough for what I'm doing? Often we find that the longer people are working in a job, the more they lag behind what the market is paying, because their employer might be paying them a small increment every year, and then a new person comes in and they get paid quite a lot more than the person that's been there for a while doing exactly the same job. So once you've established what the salary bands are, then what I would suggest you would do is you would think about, what is the value that I am bringing to this organization? What have I achieved? What have I done? What have I done maybe better than others? What can I point to as key achievements that I've achieved, say, over the last year or two? I would write those down. And sometimes it takes a while to think about them. You might have to go back through your online diaries and remember things that you were doing over the last couple of years. But once you have those down, then that starts to form a narrative for you, or almost like a business case to go to your manager and say, this is what the value that I bring to the organization. This is what I've been doing for the last 2 years. I have done my research. I can see on the salary surveys that the average salary for this type of role in this location is X. I'm currently being paid X minus. So I am putting a proposal together that I would ask for you to consider a salary increase in the range of Y percent. Now, the reason why you need to do it like that is because if you go into your manager whinging, saying, I think I need to be paid more, or I'm bored of my job and I want you to give me something more exciting to do, that's not a great message to be giving the manager. And they'll probably just say, yeah, we'll look at that, and they won't do anything.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I suppose it's important as well because, you know, as you mentioned, we kind of said, you know, maybe their employer might not see their value. But even yourself, I suppose, noting down those points and the works that you've done over the last couple of years in that particular job, it kind of reminds you as well. And I suppose it might reinvigorate you as well, you know, seeing what you've achieved and what you can actually do when you put your mind to it.
Exactly. It's incredible how, you know, we do a lot of interview training at Hilt, and we're working with clients and we're prepping them for competency-based interviews. And maybe some of the questions we'd be asking them are, can you describe a time when you came up with a better way of doing things, or you led a team to success? And they're sitting there thinking, gosh, can't think of anything. Can't think of a time when I did that. And then after a bit of probing, they'll think of something, because we don't go through our job thinking, oh, that's a great example of me showing leadership. That's a great example of me showing initiative. We just get on with it and we just get our job done. So having that time to reflect and think, what have I done and what is really useful to the company that I've done? That's so important, not just for maybe getting promoted up through the ranks in your current company, but if you're thinking of leaving, you know, how can I take what I've done and use them and spin them into a story for achievements for either my CV or for doing another interview?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Sinead, I suppose if that conversation doesn't go well and someone decides, okay, look, it's time for me to find a new job, you know, where they are at the moment isn't working for them, what can they do? Because it can be quite daunting for people, especially those who've been in jobs for a very long time, or maybe been in the one organisation or the one business for a long time. How do they get their name out there and get themselves noticed when it comes to applying for a new job?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I would say 95 to 99% of people, when they want to look for a new job, the first thing they do is they hit the laptop and start looking up jobs websites. And why wouldn't they? Because you know what? The jobs are advertised right there. So, you know, I'll get some ideas. So that is quite an inefficient way of looking for a job in the first instance, especially if, you know, as you said, Amber, like you're describing somebody who's maybe been in a job for a while. Because what's going to happen is you're going to look at those job ads and they will become your job search strategy in that, oh, I could do that. Oh, maybe I could do that. and your head gets fried thinking of all these different jobs that are out there, and applying, you know, just spray painting the atmosphere with all of your CVs and hoping something's going to land. So the first thing I would suggest is, if you're thinking of moving, you're thinking of making a change, is to realize that most jobs, the vast majority of jobs are found through your current networks, people that you already know. So I would identify maybe 3 to 5 people that you know or know of, or you can be introduced to them through somebody, like, you know, a friend of a friend or a friend of a relation, and ask them what it's like to work in that company. What sort of opportunities, what sort of roles are they hiring for in that company or that particular division or that industry at the moment? You're not asking them for a job, but you're just trying to get a sense of what's out there, like a reality check on the market, because the job ads will make you think that, like, you know, why can't I get a job? Am I the only person in the world who can't get a job? There's so many jobs advertised. But you need to get behind that. So do your homework, find people working in areas that you think maybe they'd be interested in that. Let's find out a bit more about that. That is not wasted time. That is such a good use of your time to do that, because you can spend hours attaching CVs to job ads and sending them and never hearing back. It is demoralizing. And then the next thing you think of is, oh, there's something wrong with my CV. Often there isn't something wrong with your CV, but going just looking at the job ads is not a good way to start. Take a step back, find a few people, ask them a few questions. You know, the technical term for this is an informational interview. We've got a lot of information on our website about an informational interview. Essentially, as I mentioned, you find somebody who you know or know of that will give you a half an hour of their time, and you ask them questions about what it's like to work in that industry, what sort of opportunities are out there, what kind of people are they hiring. The only thing you're not asking them in that informational interview is, oi, can you get me a job? That may transpire to be an outcome of the informational interview, but you're certainly not going to ask them that. So that would be the first thing. But it's so much more tempting, isn't it, to just respond to the ads, because mm-hmm. you can do that with no effort. It takes no effort to attach a CV and send. It takes more effort to identify the people, ask to meet them. You can do a Zoom call. I mean, you don't need to actually, you know, meet them in person. I suppose the second thing then would be, you are going to have to, if it's been a while since you applied for a job, get your CV up to date and get it into shape. There are so many resources out there for updating CVs. There's AI, CV helpers, there is all sorts of templates. But we know from working with employers and from working with candidates that employers want a professional looking, maximum 2-page document, not a fancy template pulled off the internet with loads of borders, shading, graphs, because most of the applicant tracking systems can't even read those. So focus on your CV. If you can do it yourself, great. If not, get somebody to help you with it to get that CV up to date. And this is what I was talking about earlier, Amber, where a lot of people have not updated their CV for a long time. And all they do is they just keep adding on their most recent job onto the top of the CV. So it's a 5 or 6 page CV with a huge amount of detail of something they did 20 years ago, which actually isn't that relevant anymore. So you need somebody to take a fresh pair of eyes, take a look at it and go, right, you need to get rid of that, reduce this down to a quarter of what it is, and make sure that the CV is targeted at the job you're applying for. You know, if I was going to sum it up into just one sentence, it's do not have just one version of your CV for every job.
So tailor
the job.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I suppose sticking with the CV there for a second, like you mentioned, obviously people should tailor it. And I know there's one thing that people are kind of unsure of whether they should or they shouldn't include on their CV is their age. Is that actually a factor? Like, do people actually, you know, that are looking to hire people, do they look for the age in a CV or do they miss it if it's not there?
Do not put your age on your CV. It's illegal for employers to ask it. And by extension, if it's on there, then employers have seen it and then they can't unsee it. So never put your age, your date of birth on your CV. I suppose an aligned point to that is we would get clients at Hilt who have maybe 30 plus years professional experience of working various jobs. And they're now getting to the stage where they're thinking, I have all this experience, but is this now going to go against me? Because ageism is definitely a factor. And am I going to look too old? And could I be ruled out of a competition or you know, ruled not suitable for interview just because they think I've been working too long? And while all employers will say they're equal opportunity employers, of course they are. But there is still an element of maybe they're just a little bit long in the tooth and maybe we should be looking for some younger people. That is not obviously the right way to be thinking, but some employers do think like that. But what we have suggested to a number of our clients at Hilt is when we're doing their CV and reviewing their CV for them, say they've been working for 30 years, we would say, do you know what? The first 7 to 10 years of your career, we're actually going to take that off the CV. So your work experience is going to start 20 years ago, and we're going to work from there. We're going to work up. So you're omitting it off the CV. It's not like you're lying and putting something on there that isn't true. That's not what we're doing, but we're just, CV is a marketing document. So it has to sell you. And the only job a CV has is to get you into the interview. So once you get into the interview, if you can prove to them that you're dynamic, that you're open to change, that you're always learning, that you'd be a great addition to the team, it doesn't matter how many years experience you have. The CV has done its job. It's got you in there. So that would be one thing we would do for some clients. We would also say for education, say if you've got qualifications going back many, many years, we might just take the dates off those. So it becomes a little bit less obvious when somebody just glances at your CV, how old you are. And another thing that we find a lot of people do, which just always amazes us, but we see it all the time, is that they put their date of birth in their email address. So joebloggs63@gmail.com. Now, it does not take a genius to figure out that it's quite likely that Joe Bloggs was born in 1963. For all of your listeners who were born in 1963, there's nothing wrong with being born in 1963, but it does indicate to the employer how old you are. If you have an email address with a number, with your date of birth in it, just take it out.
That's really, really interesting. I suppose, Sinead, just before we finish up, if there is someone listening and they're thinking, you know, that they want to, I suppose, look for the new job, as we said, it can be quite a daunting time. So we'll say if they were heading into an interview now, what would be the three main things you might suggest that they should think about as they're preparing for that interview?
Okay, so for an interview, the important thing to remember is that interviewing is a learned skill. It's not correct to say that just because somebody is great at talking, that makes them good at an interview. In fact, it could be the opposite. It could make them terrible at an interview because they can't be succinct and will annoy the interviewer. So things you can do, everybody gets nervous before an interview, accept that. Of course you're going to be nervous, but there's a lot of things that you can manage in order to reduce those nerves. And preparation is the number one thing. But what we do with Hilt is, and there's a lot of stuff on our website, wearehilt.com, blogs on how to reduce nerves going into an interview. So I'd encourage, you know, the listeners to take a look at that. Look at the job description. And from that job description, it is quite easy to predict what the questions are that they're going to ask you. Because the job description will say, we are looking for team leaders who are dynamic, who can good analytical skills, who can solve problems, whatever it is, you know, you'll see all that stuff on there. They're the questions they're going to ask you. So have examples of when you did that. And that's back to the point I made at the beginning, whereby we don't go around thinking, oh, that was a great example of problem solving. I must remember that next time I'm in an interview. We just don't function like that. But preparation for the interview can be like that, coming up with examples of what it says on the job description. So that'll be the first thing. The second thing is that it's almost 100% likely that the first question they're going to ask you is going to be either, tell me about yourself, walk me through your CV, or why have you applied for this job? So if you know that that is the case, prepare an answer to that question. Because if you can make a great start, you feel great about yourself, they think you're great because you started off well. So the whole thing is like this, you know, virtuous circle. Everybody feels good and it will really give you a bit of momentum going through the interview. So prepare an answer to that. And again, we've got guides on how to do that on our website. And the third thing that I would say is, you have to practice your answers out loud. So can you imagine somebody who is going to play a piano recital in the National Concert Hall in 3 weeks' time, and the only preparation that they do is to keep rereading the sheet music? That is not adequate preparation because it's not preparation that suits the task. So the preparation you should be doing when you're preparing for your interview is to get a friend, colleague, interview training person, whoever you want to get, write out a list of questions that you think might come up because you can predict them from the job description and say, look, can you sit with me and ask me these questions? I need to get my answers out loud. So you need to practice out loud. The practice you're doing has got to match the task. We sometimes get clients coming to us at Hilt. We give them worksheets to prepare in advance and they come to the interview training and hand us the completed worksheets and go, there's all my work done. And we go, well, that's great, but we're not going to read those because in an interview, well, it's great you've done it, but we're going to ask you now to say that stuff because that's what they do in an interview. And if I can just add one more, it would be that some people think that interviews are a test of your memory. That is not correct. If you put yourself under the pressure to try and learn stuff off for an interview, you will fail, because the slightest distraction in the interview, you're going to lose your train of thought, and then the whole thing is just going to go to, you know, not a good place. So don't learn stuff off, but have ideas about what you're going to say. And the more you've practiced them out loud, the more natural it will be. And then if you do get distracted in an interview, it's so much easier to get yourself back on track.